We've been going through a message series that I've been calling Love in Action, the power of serving others. And we began by looking at Mark 10, and Jesus says these words in verse 45. He says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He essentially redefines what greatness is. We want to be to think of ourselves as greater. We speak of the goat or all these kinds of things. And ultimately, greatness defined by Jesus is servanthood and humility. So as we're continuing this series, today I want to look at a very key passage that sort of builds on what we talked about last week from Philippians 2, where we talked about the heart of the servant, you know, the Jesus who being in very nature God. He didn't have to grasp for it, but it said he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, and therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And as we become more and more like Jesus, because that is the goal of the Christian life. We glorify him by becoming like Jesus. We cooperate with the work that he said, I have begun in you and will carry on to completion. He said, those who foreknew, he also predestined to become like his son. And so we want to keep our eyes on the King of Kings and say, okay, what does that look like? And the King of Kings who was exalted came as a servant. And so we should be seeking to become more and more humble in our outlook and in our servanthood. And today, I'm going to be looking at three chapters. Don't worry, we're not going to be here all day. I'm just going to give you an overview of some of the key messages in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, where the Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Corinth. And in these chapters, he's specifically focusing on what we call spiritual gifts. And we'll say some more about that as we get into the message. But I'm entitling the message today, Gifted to Serve. If you're able, could we stand for the reading of God's Word? I'm going to be reading from chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but they are the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, and by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still other, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his marvelous word, his unchanging word, that always causes change. Lord, would you do a change in us today, God? Would you speak through your servant? Would you speak in a way, Lord, that we would hear what the Spirit has to say to the church? Oh, God, that we would seek you, that there would be an attitude of openness to what you want to say to us, that we would view your word as instructive with a view towards application, that we would live out your word. Speak now through your servant, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So, Paul, again writing to this church in Corinth, is speaking now about spiritual gifts. And he says these words in verse 1. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And so the gifting that is being given to you, God says, I want you to know about these things. I want you to understand them. Now, unfortunately, that's not the focus of today's message. But at the same time, it is important that you learn about spiritual gifts. We have in our church what we call our growth track. And our growth track is we focus these days on just a single class that we'll do for about 3 hours long. And we teach in this class about spiritual gifts. We go into a little bit of in-depth. We do what we call a spiritual gifts inventory. And if you've not done that, if you're new to the church and you're considering making Haven your church, we'd invite you to just mark on your communication card growth track, and we will tell you some more about how you can plug into that. We do the growth track as often as we have those who are interested in learning about this. Now, I always say this, but if you have trusted in Jesus, you are already a member of God's church. So it's not like you become a member when you do this. But what we do talk about is the importance of the responsibilities of being a member. There are a lot of people who have said yes to Jesus, but they have no real connection to a church family. And as we're going to see even through this, it's important that we understand that the way we are gifted is for one another. We're given gifts so that we can serve one another. So he says these things. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. He's saying, ultimately, the gifts that you've been given, think about even the word gift. By definition, if it's a gift, it was given to you. And so there's nothing for us to say, look what I have done, look what I have created. God has given us gifts. And it says in verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What he's saying to us, 21st century, is that your gift is for our growth. You have been gifted to bless the body of Christ. You're gifted to give. What God has given to you, he wants you to give back. And the more you pour out your gifts, the more God pours into you. That's just God's economy. The more you give away your gifts, the richer you become. The more you serve with your gifts, the more you grow. And so as you become generous with your gifts and you're giving back to the body of Christ, God is multiplying his work in you. And so he goes on now to describe different types of gifts. And again, the purpose here this morning is not to go into in depth on each one of these. I'll give a quick overview of what these are. Again, I would urge you, if you've never done a spiritual gifts inventory, just mark that on your communication card. If you've done it in the past and you've forgotten, when we do a growth track again, it's okay to go through it again and to relearn what spiritual gifts are about. But he describes several here. He says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. This is this Spirit-given ability to speak very insightfully into complex situations with God's wisdom, with God's wisdom. And to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. This, again, is a Spirit inspired knowledge of truth or of facts that would otherwise be unknown, but it comes to you through the Spirit. It's used, of course, to strengthen faith. It brings clarity. It exposes sometimes hidden issues. To another, there's faith by the same Spirit. And here he's not speaking of saving faith. Every Christian has saving faith. But it is this extraordinary confidence in God's power for a specific need or a challenge. My bride has the gift of faith, and when I'm wavering in my faith, I'm always depending on that gifting in her life to strengthen my own faith. It enables very bold steps of obedience in our lives. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Again, this is that Spirit-enabled ability to be an instrument of God's healing, whether it's physically or emotionally or spiritually. And notice Paul uses the plural here, gifts, in showing that God heals in many different ways. To another, miraculous power. powers, that supernatural acts of earth beyond the natural explanation, signs of God's power that confirm his presence, his authority. There's prophecy, speaking a message from God under the Spirit's inspiration. It can include encouragement or exhortation or comfort or correction. It's always, of course, subject to the testing of discernment. There's distinguishing between spirits, that ability to discern whether or not something is from the Holy Spirit, whether it's a human influence or if it's demonic in nature. And it protects the church from error. And there's tongues. It's a speaking in a language that's not known to the speaker. It's given by the Spirit. It could be a human language, as we see in Acts chapter 2, or it could be a heavenly one, as we see in 1 Corinthians 13, which we will talk about in just a second. But it's primarily used for personal prayer, unless there is also accompanied with the gift of interpretation, which is, again, that Spirit-given understanding to make these tongues intelligible to the congregation. And it ensures that gift then edifies the church. Okay, so that's just a quick overview. Again, with each of these, we could spend the entire time talking about each one of these. If you want to learn more, again, mark on your card the growth track. But again, your gift is given for our growth. You are gifted to serve. All these works, he says, verse 11, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And so then Paul goes on to use the metaphor of the body to describe believers in Christ. By the way, he also uses that metaphor in Romans 12, and you see him using it again in Ephesians 4. And so he's looking at this human body and saying, okay, let me try to illustrate some things to you regarding your gifting. He says, if the foot should say, hey, I'm not a hand, so I don't belong. He said, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If you all of a sudden your foot goes, oh, I'm not a hand, so I'm not going to walk anymore. That's ridiculous, right? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were the ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, this is verse 18, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. What is he talking about here as he's contrasting the ear and the eye and the hand and the foot? You know, there is this human tendency, this fallen human tendency for comparison. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we don't do this. We do this all the time because, you know, I keep coming back to this. We are an insecure bunch. If we really realized who we are in Christ, whose we are, there would be no need for this comparison. And so we tend to look at people who have similar gifting. You know, he contrasts the hand and the foot, and then he says the eye and the ear. And one aspect of comparison is that we demote ourselves, we demean ourselves. We think that, oh, I could never live up because you do this so much better. And I put myself down. But on the other hand, the pendulum swing for comparison is that, look, verse 21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, now he's contrasting different body types of body, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. That's the other aspect of comparison. We start thinking of ourselves as better than. That's, hey, I can do this on my own. I don't need you. But comparison is a distraction. It gets our mind off of what we're called to do, which is that we serve one another, that my gifting is for your growth. It's not about me, because my gifts I didn't create. God gave me my gifts, and God gave you your gifts. So it's really kind of ridiculous to compare ourselves. Y'all quiet. We're prone to this, are we not? We're very prone to this. I mean, pastors do this all the time, comparing church sizes and numbers of ministries and all of this. And you know, I've talked to so many pastors of different church sizes. And I know God uses churches of all different sizes. But I know mega church pastors who are comparing themselves with bigger mega churches. Or thinking, I'm better than, because we got to watch ourselves, because it's not about us. Comparison is a distraction. It either makes me feel small or it puffs me up. Neither of which is good. There's no place for comparison of gifts in our service to God. And this is what he's communicating to us with this metaphor of the body. We belong to each other. We need each other. He goes on to talk about, therefore, if you know one part of the body suffers, we suffer together. And this is why, Jason and Anna, we ought to feel your pain and suffer with you. And when we see these kids up here singing and joy, we should, as Joel said, we should. Hey, this is joyful. Let's just rejoice together. We belong to each other. He closes that chapter saying, now I want to show you the most excellent way. So Riker and Abby are here, and we love them. You know, you guys who have been part of the church have known Riker since he was this big, you know. And I'm going to marry them in next month. And Maria and I have been spending quite a bit of time with them. And one of the things that as you go to marriage, most of it, anybody here ever been to a wedding before? It's just kind of, you know, part and parcel of the wedding. You got to do the love verses, right? 1 Corinthians 13. But a lot of people don't understand. And it's important to do that, by the way. But a lot of people don't understand the context of 1 Corinthians 13. It comes between chapters 12 and 14. That's why they call it 13. But the context is Paul teaching on spiritual gifts. And so he's explained that there are all these gifts. It's the Spirit of God who gives them. He's determined what gifts are given. There is no place for comparison in the using of our gifts, but we are called to use our gifts. Amen. Yes, amen. We are called to use our gifts. My gifts are given to me to give away, to bless you, and your gifts are called to bless me. 1 Corinthians 13 is all about our motivation. He says, I want to show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So, hey, look, you know, next chapter, Paul says, yeah, I speak in tongues more than any of you guys. But I'd rather you speak 10,000 tongues. I'd rather you speak 10,000 intelligible. What does he say? 5 intelligible words than 10,000 in a tongue. You know, if I speak in tongues, tongues is a good gift. Every gift is a good gift. But if I'm doing this because I want to say, hey, look how spiritual I am. A lot of people think that tongues is a mark of spirituality. You know, in some circles, it's even taught that the mark of the filling of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. And it's like, it's a good gift, but I know some carnal folks who speak in tongues. And Paul does too, because he's writing to a very carnal church, right? But he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I don't have love, it's noise. It's just a clang cymbal. I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. I have a faith that can move mountains. Hey, look at all that I'm doing. Look at, I'm going out there and I'm speaking all these words. But I'm doing it because I want you to see me. I'm not doing it out of love. There's not a part of me that says, look, if nobody sees it, but God sees it, that's a good thing. But I'm doing this with the wrong motivation. I don't have love. He says, you can do all those things. He says, I'm nothing. Some of you, and I appreciate you very much, are very, very generous. And you know what I particularly love is when people give with no intention of being seen at all. So one of the things I love about this church, most of y'all are serving. it's you know, we're a small church, but I tell you what, the percentage of folks who are giving of their gifts in this church is very high. And I love you guys, and I love to see you serving. I find out sometimes about ways that you're serving. I say, we don't know we were doing this ministry. It's a beautiful thing. But one of the things I am aware of and I love to see is like on the Friday night uptown when we go out there and y'all are just loving on people as they come to our tent and we have, you know, kids with sensory needs. They're coming in and we're just loving on. It's a beautiful thing. So we were there on Friday. And Maria and I took a little break to go get some food. It was hard finding food, but we finally got a place. And we went over to Old Bag of Nails, and we're sitting down there. And we finally finish our meal. And we say, hey, could I check, please? And the waitress says, your money is no good here. It's been taken care of. Somebody paid our check for us. That's giving without asking for anything in return. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love must be our motivation. So you are gifted, and God has called you to use your gifts to bless others. And what has to motivate all of this is love. Genuine love. And you know, love is so distorted in our culture. People don't understand what love is. It's primarily about, having an affection for somebody or a feeling inside. Those are genuine aspects of love. But what follows here, 1 Corinthians 13 verses, and we're talking about the love chapter. Guys, yes, this is the way you ought to love one another, because you're not always going to feel it. Romance isn't all there is to love. That's a beautiful aspect. But I love my wife dearly. I'll be honest with you, sweetheart, I'm not feeling romance at this moment. There are times that I do. But those are fleeting moments. But what I want to ensure that I'm doing at all times, I want to love the way Paul describes love. Now listen to this. This, in my mind, apart from how John describes God, which is God is love, this to me is the greatest definition of love in all of human history. God is love, yes, and we know Jesus is love, and the gospel is love. But listen to these words. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. You're starting to see this thing called love is genuinely other-centered. It's not all about, you stepped on my toes. You hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. Hey. It does not dishonor others. It's not putting down other people. That is so common in our culture today. This is why you always hear me say, I just stay away from the world of politics, because that's all about self-righteousness and me putting down that person from the other party. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. This is why I tell you guys, stay off social media. Those folks want you to get angry. They want you to be fearful. Because your sin nature is going to come back for more. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Anybody here ever been wronged by somebody else? Anybody else been hurt, offended by somebody? Genuine love says, I release that to God. I forgive. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We fail sometimes. Sometimes we don't love the way we ought to, but we say, something? But I'm going to persevere. I'm going to grow in the greatest of graces, which is love. All the law and the prophets, Jesus says, hangs on two commandments. Love God, love people. Love never fails. Church, I want to encourage you to take time to hide these verses in your heart, to memorize them and to continually go over them. And use it as a gauge to say, God, where am I right now? Am I living the way you want me? Because this is the heartbeat of the gospel. It is the love. And you have been gifted to give your gifts, to grow others, to serve others. And the motivation for it needs to be love. If you genuinely love, you will serve. Let's jump into chapter 14. So in chapter 14, now he goes back to spiritual gifts. He's been talking about all these gifts that have been given. And the lists are not exhaustive, by the way. There are other passages that deal with it, including Romans 12 and others. First Peter talks about gifts as well. But in chapter 14 now, he's contrasting tongues and prophecy. Again, he's given us the motivation for all of our gifting has to be love. And he's contrasting tongues and prophecy because this was a very carnal church. I mean, read through 1 Corinthians 13. Sometimes you'd read things and then go, these people are Christians? But, you know, we look at our church today. I mean, I'm not saying you guys. Well, we're sinners too, right? But I'm saying the church, capital C in America. I mean, there's so many things happening. Sometimes you go, is this person really a Christian? Christians can be quite sinful, quite carnal. And he's speaking to this church that is, you know, they're excelling in the gift of tongues. And do not get me wrong, it's a good gift, like every gift is good. I have the gift of tongues, and I'm grateful to God for that gift. Every gift from the Father is, as the scriptures tell us, is from the Father of heavenly lights, and he does not change with the shifting shadows, and we are to receive good things from God. But the contrast he's making between tongues and prophecy is that tongues edify me. They build me up. There are times where, you know, for any of you who have that gift, you know, sometimes you want to worship, you want to come before God, and you just don't have the words. And it's like it enables you in a way to continue in your worship, and it's beautiful. But without interpretation, it doesn't build up anybody else. You know, he goes on in this chapter to say, you know, if someone comes in through the doors and all y'all is speaking in tongues, he'll say, you guys are crazy. You know, if you're not in Christ and you've heard tongues, you might have gone, this is weird. And in one sense, it is weird, isn't it? It's kind of strange. But it is to be received as a good gift. And Paul says we don't forbid it by any means. But if someone is in the church service, there needs to be interpretation. Because things need to be done orderly, in a decent and orderly manner. But then he contrasts that now with prophecy, which again, you remember we were saying, it's a word from the Lord. It's a word sometimes of encouragement, of insight, of building. Sometimes it's a word of rebuke, but it's all done for the building of the body. And so he's saying this particular gift, seek it. Seek the greater of the gifts. He calls this the greatest of the gifts. He said, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. So again, he's not saying tongues, don't do it. He said, I'd love you to have this. But I'd rather you have prophecy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless somebody interprets so that the whole church may be edified. What he's communicating to us here is that desire gifts that don't only build me up, but build up others as well. So the aim should be edification. Adam, edification is the building up of the body. I knew you were about to ask me that, right? It is the building up of the body. And you know, in one sense, if you have tongues and I'm being edified, he says edifies me. If I'm edified, I'll be a better person so I can contribute better to the body. But it's possible for me to do all this and all I'm concerned about is me. And so what he's saying to us, church, is you're gifted. Each of you has spiritual gifts. If you don't know what your gifts are, please mark on your communication card, growth track. We want to help you to discover your gifts so that you can use your gifts to give back. You are gifted to serve. Do not allow comparison to become a distraction for you. Do not allow that. Do not allow anything but love to be the motivation for why you do what you do. And as you use your gifts, seek to build up others, to edify the church. You know, much of what we've been talking about in this series on servanthood is really, it starts really with understanding what's going on inside of us. I was having a conversation with my prayer partner of many years, 3 decades actually, this past week. And we were talking about this a little bit. And you know, there are, from the outward appearance, two people can be doing exactly the same thing, but it's different in God's sight. So we can both go to the Hope Center on a Tuesday night and serve the poor and serve meals, and it looks exactly the same. But if my motivation is, hey guys, look at me, look what I'm doing. I'm serving because of my own insecurity. I need you to lift me up and say, what a great person I am. I've lost my blessing. If I do so with a heart that says, I love people, God, you have loved me, and I want to love back, and if nobody sees this but you, I'm good. There's a difference between what happens in the heart and the outward appearance. And so, church, everything we've been talking about to this point is all about, Lord, humble my heart and make me have a heart like yours. But that when I understand who I am and whose I am, it needs to manifest itself in action. I can't just say, my heart is nice and soft. I've got to then take these gifts that you have given to me, Lord, and give them back. Now, I said at the beginning, you know, one of the things I love about this church is that most of you guys are serving, but not all of you are. You know who you are. So you've been watching. You've been a spectator. And one of the things we say about Christianity all the time is this is not a spectator sport. I was upset last night that the crew didn't win. My son was upset. We tied, but we should have won that game. I'm going, oh, man. But I'm not on the field. I'm just watching this thing. Christianity calls for each one of us to be involved, to take what God has given to you, to give it back, finding ways. I want to put it to you this week that as you leave this place, pray, ask God, God, how do you want to use me this week to bless others? That this gift that you have given to me, and if you belong to Jesus, you are gifted, that this gift you have given to me, I want to give back. Let's just leave with that thought. Father God, thank you so much for giving us gifts, spiritual gifts, good gifts, blessed gifts. Protect us, God, and forgive us, Lord, for those many times we have compared our gifts with others. We've wanted to feel good about who we are, and so we feel sometimes less than others or better than others. And Lord, that's all just a distraction. God, fill us to overflowing with your love, that we would understand, Lord, that this is the essence of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God, you didn't save us just to sit back and watch. You called us to become like your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus, to grow in this grace of love, that as we have been so loved by you, Lord God, that absolutely nothing can separate us from your love, that God, you now call us to become a people who express your love to others. And God, I pray, God, as we use our gifts, our goal would be that we would build up one another, that we become stronger together. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name.